Samsung's Galaxy S10 is filled with the necessary bells, whistles, and even a hole punch. But is it enough to make you want to upgrade?
This is Twit.
You can count on Samsung every year to release its big Galaxy flagship in the first quarter, and then its big Note release in August of every year. That release schedule has allowed Samsung to come across as having something big that consumers gotta have two major times each year. It keeps Samsung on the minds of smartphone buyers everywhere, and I mean everywhere. Samsung is super dominant in its sales of its Android devices, and that's simply because Samsung creates top-of-the-line hardware that rivals will emulate in their own devices, and Samsung isn't so shabby at using its marketing muscle to get the message out there. So when March rolls around, the tech press knows to expect a winner. And if Samsung doesn't deliver, that will be the even bigger headline. This right here is the newly released Samsung Galaxy S10. And at this point, the Galaxy S series is so consistently good that it's hard to expect anything but the best out of this new device. So does it live up to its legacy? The Galaxy S10 sits in the middle of three phones. There's the smaller Galaxy S10e for more budget-minded users, and the Galaxy S10 Plus for the power user, and each of those are priced accordingly. So the Galaxy S10 that I have here sits in the middle. It's moderately priced at $899.99. No, it's not in any way cheap, but then again, neither is the device itself. So let's take a look at the design of the Galaxy S10. The phone feels thin, but it's also very dense, with nicely curved edges on the front display that really streamline the feel of the device in the hand, and the ease at which it can slide in and out of your pocket on the go, though do be careful it doesn't slip in and out of your hand. Because without a case, this phone feels very vulnerable, such is the case with front and back glass slabs like you have on the S10. The shiny metal casing around the sides is pleasantly flashy. It's also very reflective. Too bad it's going to be covered by that case you're totally going to put on the phone when you buy it, right? Now, on the front is a 6.1-inch AMOLED display with a resolution of 3040 by 1440. It's good to note that this display actually has the highest pixel density of the three models, so if clarity is your bang, opt for the 550 pixels per inch that you're going to get on the S10. The display is, in a word, gorgeous. Everything looks phenomenal. Everything's bright, colorful, punchy, and because of the now signature curved edges, bezels really are a thing of the past. Another way this bezel-less effect is achieved is by this little hole punch up at the very top of the display. Samsung actually opted for what it calls the Infinity O display, meaning there's a hole inside the display to make room for the single 10-megapixel front-facing camera that you'll find on the S10, one camera shy of the dual front-facing lenses on the S10 Plus, by the way. My eyes got very used to that hole punch pretty quickly, but I can totally understand the hesitancy that some people might express. Do what I did. Find a home screen image that obscures that hole punch, and 90% of the time you won't even know it's there. Now, speaking of cameras, on the back you'll find three camera sensors lined up in a row, along with an LED flash, and then also sensors for taking your heart rate. But you will not find a fingerprint sensor back there. That's actually because it's moved to the front of the device, even though you may not have seen it the first time. It's sitting underneath the display. Samsung had long been rumored to be working on bringing an in-display fingerprint sensor to the Galaxy phones, and sure enough, they finally made it happen. The S10 isn't the first phone to offer an in-display fingerprint sensor, but Samsung opted for an ultrasonic sensor as opposed to the more familiar optical sensor. This makes it, at least on paper, a little more accurate and means even wet fingers aren't going to throw it off. It does require some learning on the part of the user, though. Yes, you can unlock your phone even when the display is off. You just have to know exactly where to drop your finger. And it's best not to press into it, but rather rest your finger there. Not to mention the device now ships with a screen protection layer installed out of the box, which is a really nice addition for scratch protection, but it does seem to affect the reliability of the fingerprint sensor. And I got very used to trying my fingerprint 2, 3, 4 times, and sometimes just opting for my passcode to get in. If you want to activate the touch sensitivity option, you'll get slightly improved detection. No, it is not perfect. It's downright frustrating some of the time, but I imagine that over time it's going to improve, or maybe I'll just get better at using it. Time will tell. On the bottom is USB-C. There you'll get your fast charge, of course, and an old school headphone jack that's going to make audio purists happy. Samsung is still dedicated to that Courage port, at least for now. Now, what you don't see, inside there's a top-of-the-line Snapdragon 855 processor with 8 gigs of RAM, 128 gigs of storage. You can also get that in a 512 gig option. A micro SD card slot for storage up to 512 additional gigs, and a 3400 milliamp hour battery, which is less than what you'll find on the S10. That's a 4000 milliamp hour battery. But personally, I felt like it was plenty. I had the Galaxy Watch Active connected to it at all times, and I still made it to the end of the day with around 30% battery remaining. The S10 supports wireless fast charging 2.0, and it made me happy to just kind of drop it onto my wireless Qi charger every night. The device is also water resistant, rated IP68, so very capable of handling the earthly elements. Another key feature is a new one called wireless power share. Sharing battery with another device is nothing new, but the Galaxy S10 can actually be turned into a wireless charger, which is kind of magical. You just turn it on in the settings, then set your wireless device, be it another phone, a wireless headphones like maybe Samsung's Galaxy Buds, or even the wearable like the Galaxy Watch Active that I have here. Place that on the center of the back of the device. You should get a nice little haptic kick that denotes the connection, and the battery charge is then transferred over to the device at a pretty swift rate. The trick here is to line this up on the center of the phone, and then you'll want to wait a few beats for the connection to be made. This is a really super cool feature. It didn't always work on the first try, though, so you might have to try again and again. Samsung's latest software is called One UI, and it is here in full effect on top of Android 9 Pie. One UI changes the Samsung software design paradigm to improve for one-handed experiences by weighing the content on screen more heavily in the bottom half than on the top half. Some may see that as a waste of space, but I must say I actually like the approach a lot. Samsung's UI has always felt pretty heavy-handed to me, and to their credit, they've improved tremendously in recent years, and One UI is the most polished and enjoyable version of Samsung software that I've used to date. And not only is it easy to use, it's super fast. Of course, it has the top-of-the-line processor and RAM in the device. That's going to make it scream in daily use, pretty much as good as it gets without question. Samsung loves throwing in its bells and whistles also, so much of that can be found in the quick settings and settings menus, and Samsung has actually cut down on the annoying takeover messages that I find old devices have been plagued by when you first set them up, and I really appreciate it. So, what about the pictures and the videos? Well, the only major difference in the camera setup between the S10 and the bigger S10 Plus is an additional front-facing camera, and that camera is used exclusively for improved bokeh performance. So, personally, I never felt like I was missing out on much there. The S10 still has its live focus effect, so all is not entirely lost, and it's pretty good. And you get a regular and still wider shot on the front-facing camera as well, so you can fit even more people into your selfies. That's really nice. As for the rear cameras, you get a telephoto option, a standard option, and now a new wide angle option that is so nice to have. And in my opinion, that's about all you really need. That gives you a ton of imaging flexibility when you're out and about, and Samsung has dialed in its processing power underneath to make photo snaps quick and seamless, even integrating some AI in there. Sure, there's software stuff like AR emojis and stickers, which honestly, personally, didn't work as well as I think they should have. But I spent most of my time simply taking pictures and shooting a little video, and I feel pretty happy with the quality. I even tested a few low-light shots against the night mode on the Pixel 3, and while the Pixel 3 has much more clarity and depth in those dark shots, the S10 still does a pretty good job there. But there is definitely work to be done in this area in the future, and I'm sure Samsung will get hard at work on that. I think the question to ask with the Galaxy S10 isn't, should I buy it, but rather, which one should I buy? No question, Samsung knows how to make remarkable flagship phones, and the S10 is no different. If you want the larger battery and extra front-facing camera sensor, you'll want to go with the S10 Plus. Or if you prefer a hardware fingerprint sensor and don't mind sacrificing a telephoto lens on the back, you'll go with the S10e. Alternatively, the S10 here is truly the middle of the road of Samsung's flagship arsenal, and that's not at all a bad thing. Think of it more like some of the best of all worlds. At $900, it's not like this is an inexpensive phone, no doubt about it, but it's as good as Samsung has ever done, and that's definitely saying something. I absolutely recommend the Samsung Galaxy S10, a crowd pleaser through and through.
Keep up with all the hottest tech news and gadgets. Visit twit.tv. There you'll be able to find and subscribe to all our tech shows. Thanks for watching Hands on Tech.